the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. That's where we're going to be ministering the Word of God this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something with me, and I'm going to ask you to stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, if you will. And you're going to be sitting for a few moments, so stand up and stretch your legs and your back and everything else. Amen. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto him, Let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and saith unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so afraid, or so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey? May God add his blessing to his word this morning, and you may be seated. Amen. In the presence of the Lord. He's not safe, but he is good. He's the king. That's the message this morning. And let me just say it one more time. He's not safe, but he is good. He's the king. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a powerful, powerful scripture we read there in the Mark's Gospel. The message this morning was stirred in my heart from something I read, and as often happens in the case of inspiration for preaching, reading something, but here's what I read. God is God, and since He is God, He is worthy of my worship and service. I will find rest nowhere else but in His will, and that will is necessarily, infinitely, immeasurably, unspeakably beyond my largest notions of what He's up to. Anybody else ever have the thought, what's God up to? Amen. If you are at the mercy of the storm, its power is unmanageable and it doesn't love you. We all know that one, right? The only place you're safe is in the will of God. But because He is God and you're not, that would help somebody here this morning. The will of God is necessarily, immeasurably, unspeakably beyond your largest notion of what He's up to. Is He safe? Of course He's not safe. Who said anything about being saved? But He is good. He's the King. That inspired this message this morning. I read that. That was written by missionary Elizabeth Elliot. She's the wife of course, martyr to the Acua Indians of Ecuador, missionary Jim Elliot, who said these words, He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to obtain that which he cannot lose. What powerful words this morning that have inspired men and women throughout the years, these great missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the country of Ecuador. But that, as I read that, that so resonated in my own spirit. He's not safe, but He is good. He's the King. And these thoughts began to rush to my mind, and I thought of the scripture in the book of Romans, and Paul wrote it. He said this. He said, Oh, of the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgment and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? And who hath been His counselor? The focus of the message this morning is to learn to live and serve in the power of Christ's authority. Now, I want you to embrace this title one more time. He's not safe, but He is good. He's the King. The first point I want to share with you this morning And I'm just going to get right into the heart and the teeth of the message. The first point I want to share with you this morning is God does not want us to try to figure Him out. He wants us to trust Him and His authority. Point number one, God does not want us trying to figure Him out. You know, many people spend their lives trying to figure God out. Men write books. Men have written volumes and volumes and volumes of books. And we have commentaries and we have all of the information on the internet. We have so many things. And it just seems that according to the scripture, it's kind of like this. They're ever searching and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. What the truth of God is. The Bible says actually our search to understand God and to figure Him out is really a vain search. It says, for His ways are past finding out. Who could be the counselor of God? And I think it's just time, church, that we quit trying to figure God out and trust Him. Amen? We just need to quit trying to figure out what God is doing and trust Him. The scripture says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now listen to what God says. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that's a good thing. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, the point is, trust Him. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. Let's quit trying to figure God out. And let's just trust Him. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Let's stop the vain search of trying to rationalize a God who cannot be rationalized. Put God in some kind of a box of our understanding and intellect when He will not fit in that box. But God wants us to trust Him this morning. You see, trust is about faith, and our faith pleases Him. The writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God doesn't want me to figure Him out. He wants me to trust Him. God doesn't want me to understand Him because I can't, but He wants me to trust Him. He wants you and I to have this relationship of trust. He wants me to trust in Him, not my own understanding of Him. That's important this morning. That's important. Note David's declaration. The psalmist David said in Psalm 20, he says these words, now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear from His holy heaven and with the saving strength of His right hand. Listen to what he says. He says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Remember, He's not safe. He is good. He's the King. Psalm 18, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. It was the prophet Nahum in the book of Nahum that bears his name. The prophet Nahum said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust Him. He knows those who trust Him. The Lord this morning, the first point is God doesn't want us to figure Him out, but what God does want, He wants us to trust Him. Remember that old song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms? The scripture said, Psalm 91, the eternal God is thy refuge. Deuteronomy 33:27, I'm getting ahead of myself. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. And He shall cast out the enemy from before you, and shall say unto them, be thou destroyed, How many of you want to be in the arms of the Lord this morning? How many of you know He's there for you? He will catch you when you fall. Amen? He's there. We need to quit being afraid of falling. I said we need to quit being afraid of falling. We do not need to fear falling. We need to focus on standing. The Bible says, let us stand. And having, Paul said, stand, having done all, stand. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your loins girt about with truth. Having on the helmet of salvation and taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to be concerned about standing, not falling. How many of you believe the Lord's got your back this morning? I said, how many of you believe it? Do you really believe it? Amen. We need to quit worrying so much about falling. We spend so much time worrying about falling and failing that we don't get much accomplished. This message this morning is about accomplishing something in your life. It's about you doing something above and beyond what you've ever done. It's about the year 2017 being a different year in your life, being a banner year, being one of those years you're going to refer back to again and again and again, and you're going to remind your children and your grandchildren in 2017, God did something significant in my life, and the reason He did it is because I quit worrying about falling, and I got focused on standing in the power and the authority of the Word of God. I am who I am, and I am who He's made me. Amen. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, according to the Scripture. We're the redeemed of the Lord. And He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He didn't say, cry out and tell the enemy that you're afraid of falling. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Satan, you want a message from this boy who was a sinner? I'm redeemed. I'm not afraid of falling. I know He's got me. Paul said, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Listen, if you can trust anything, you can trust God. He doesn't want us to figure Him out. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. We're trying to figure out how God's going to help us. And the Bible says His ways are past finding out. Your search for the understanding like God has is in vain. We just don't have that understanding. Now, the Bible does say if we're obedient servants of God, that His Holy Spirit will reveal things unto us. And thank God for revelation knowledge this morning. He gives it. But I want to challenge you this morning to stop trying to figure Him out and trust Him. Just trust Him. Point number two. The gospel is not about following good advice, but it is a call to follow a king. The gospel is not about following good advice, because the word gospel does not mean good advice. Jesus didn't come, He didn't die on a cross to give us good advice. He died on a cross to give us victory and spiritual authority. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw two more brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And He called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. The gospel is about following Christ. The word gospel means good news, yes. But it is good news about God. It is good news about what God has done and God will do in your life this morning. Amen. Psalm 24, the psalmist writes, lift up your heads. Come on, lift up your head. Lift up your head, people. Oh, ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. You understand the phrase, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up, you everlasting doors, has to do with praise. It has to do with worshiping God. And he just says, just worship God and praise God, for when you worship and praise, the King of glory will come in. Well, that's biblically consistent with the scripture when it says the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. When we begin to praise him, God enters into that environment. Amen. So build him an environment this morning of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Building him an environment of habitation through your praise. The Palm Sunday declaration of the believing Jews was this very same declaration that the gospel was not about following just some good advice, but it is a call to follow a king. And I want to stress that this morning. You see, so many people get the understanding that Christianity is about doing good and being good. Christianity is about Christ. Christianity is about following Jesus Christ. Amen? On Palm Sunday, what we celebrate the entry of Jesus Christ as he made that triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on the week of his passion before he was crucified and died for the sins of the world. But the Bible says there, he says, as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King. I said, he's not safe, but he is good. He's the King. He said, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, make them shut up. That's my paraphrase. He said, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The second point is the gospel is not about following good advice, but it is about following King Jesus. Christianity today is, we have gotten this thing so far away from the center focus of Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Do you understand the word author and the word authority come from the same root word? Means from the original. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm trying to teach you something in this point here. Listen, the word author and the word authority come from the same root word, which means from the original. And when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, it just simply means that that he is the author, or he is the original. And it comes from him. That's where it starts. That's where it all started, was with him. Which brings me to the third point. The call to follow Christ is not a call to safety, but it is a call to submission, surrender, service, and yes, sometimes possibly suffering. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Sometimes we've got so much of self, we can't see the Savior. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The call to follow Christ is not a call to safety. And my concern is that we live our Christian lives way too safe, church. We're trying to live this thing way too safe. We got people trying not to backslide. We've got people with this testimony, oh, just pray for me, Pastor, that I can just make it in as if to get the picture that their soul salvation is they make it in the pearly gate just before it shuts, and it may even shut on the tail of the robe. Pastor, just pray for me that I can just make it into heaven. Listen, if you're saved this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Redeemer, listen, amen, the gates are going to swing wide. That old song, remember it, Sister June, swing wide the gates. Amen, swing wide the gates. The Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal, and few there be that find it. But I'm going to tell you, those that do, it's going to be swing wide the gates. Hallelujah. Amen. Angels are going to rejoice, for a sinner has come home. Hallelujah. I'm saying this morning, we're too busy about worrying about being safe. Can I tell you, you don't serve a safe Savior this morning. He's not safe, but He is good. He's the King. He's not a safe Savior. It's not a safe Savior who walks on water to a boat that's getting ready to sink, and He speaks to a man by the name of Peter, and Peter says, Lord, if that's You, bid me come. And the Lord could have said, hold on, Peter, that's not safe. That's not safe. We talk about doing things for God in the church, in ministry, and we worry about what we don't have much more than we do about what we do have. We worry about this and we worry about that, and God said it's time to stop being safe. We live way too safe. It's time to get out there and challenge. It's time to get out there and challenge the envelope of God's power and God's authority. You don't know what God can do through you until you call on it. You don't know the power of God until you draw on it. I said you don't understand the authority of God's Spirit in you until you've drawn on that Spirit and that power. We need to quit playing it so safe in the church. We need to quit playing it so safe in Christianity. We play it safe. Oh, we say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. You don't have to offend. Amen. But don't be, by all means, don't be so safe that you are silent. I'm afraid that our safety has called us to be silent, Sister Barker. What you were saying up there this morning, our call to God is not a call to silent safety or security. Our call to the call of God, Sister Collier, is a call out of the boat. He said to Peter, come. I know it's not safe, Peter, but come on. Amen, because I'm out here. Amen, I've gone before. I'm out here. I'm on the water. Come, Peter. And the Lord's calling to some of us here this morning, get out of the boat. Get out of safety. Get out of security. Get out of your comfort zones. It's time to quit playing it so safe. Listen, if you're so worried about making heaven, you may not make it. You need to be confident in the Lord who has called you and the Lord who has saved you and washed you from your sin. I've got more confidence of God than in my God than that to believe I'm just going to barely make it into the pearly gates just before they close. Anybody ever get your coat caught in the door? I've done that. I've done that more than one time. Get a jacket caught in the door or something. Walk through the door. Being tall sometimes is unfortunate. I walked through one time and got my pocket caught on the door handle. I'm telling you, it's we play things way too safe in the church. We're worried about the devil. Who?